truth.
I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
And it's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum.
You falsely accused me of being involved in a racial incident.
He said you were very racist.
He said you were very racist.
Hey, just answer one question, yes or no.
What about the fake person?
Yes or no?
And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
I have this Tuesday. No.
Welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Tuesday, June 8th, 2021 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. As always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It's a wild and dystopic ride. Have you seen James Corbett's Big Oil series? I think I've mentioned that a time or two. And, you know, we talk about history. It's an interesting thing. You know, by the way, so there is there are the various quotes that inform our discretion. You know, Cicero, to be ignorant of what occurred before you were born is to remain always a child. For what is the worth of human life unless it is to be woven into the life of our ancestors by the records of history? And there are many other quotes, but I think it probably begs mentioning that one of the best history lessons that we can, I would say the premier, the foremost, the best history lesson that we can study is found in the Bible. So that's a good place to start. But it's really interesting the way that you can manipulate people with history. Whether it's just to completely do away with history and turn people into infants, perpetual children, or to rewrite it. And in James Corbett's Big Oil series, in part one, how Big Oil conquered the world, he actually plays the clip of the interview, J. Edward Griffin interviewing Norman Dodd, and Dodd talking about, you know, these folks rewriting history. So, in simple terms, they decide to approach the historians of the day and say, listen, will you tell this story that we want told? The future of America belongs to collectivism. And those folks say, no, we won't, but they're undeterred, as the, everybody likes that word these days. So they set about creating their own stable. They enlist the support of the Guggenheim Foundation. And the next thing you know, they have their own stable of historians that are telling their story. And really, I think, I mean, the general public would not believe a conspiracy so monstrous. I mean, it really is. It's just, you could, I think you could easily relabel how and why Big Oil conquered the world to the conspiracy that, you know, how the conspiracy of Big Oil conquered the world and why the conspiracy of Big Oil conquered the world. And that would be very, that would be an orthodox, you know, a genuine title. But most people are unaware, because all of that information, I mean, it's just been, life as we know it has been subsumed by the conspiracy, and there is really no area of life that is left untouched, and you're sort of left with that perspective at the end of part one, how Big Oil conquered the world. So it's a fascinating thing. I think maybe we'll play a few minutes of it what I would like to do maybe is just clip the beginning and the ends together, you know, that clip that we've played from time to time about Devil Bill, and then probably the end of part one. And if you haven't seen these, I mean, I've recommended folks watch these several times. I would highly encourage you to watch them. I mean, it's a great history lesson. Modern America, basically. So maybe we can do that. I think we should probably, as a primer, to pique your curiosity, if you've not seen how and why Big Oil conquered the world, maybe we'll do that. And we'll continue on from there. Fascinating stuff. Mirrored many, many times by folks. Which is great. All right, so we'll play a couple of minutes of this and then we'll skip to the end. Go ahead, please.
We are well known. Rockefeller and Standard Oil. The internal combustion engine and the transformation of global transport. The House of Saud and the oil wars in the Middle East. Other parts are more obscure. The quest for oil and the outbreak of World War I. The petrochemical interests behind modern medicine. The big oil money behind the Green Revolution and the Gene Revolution. But that story, properly told, begins somewhere unexpected. Not in Pennsylvania with the first commercial drilling operation and the first oil boom, but in the rural backwoods of early 19th century New York State. And it doesn't start with crude oil or its derivatives, but a different product altogether. Snake oil. Dr. Bill Livingston, celebrated cancer specialist, was the very image of the traveling snake oil salesman. He was neither a doctor nor a cancer specialist. His real name was not even Livingston. More to the point, the rock oil tonic he pawned was a useless mixture of laxative and petroleum and had no effect whatsoever on the cancer of the poor townsfolk he conned into buying it. He lived the life of a vagabond, always on the run from the last group of people he had fooled, engaged in ever more outrageous deceptions to make sure that the past wouldn't catch up with him. He abandoned his first wife and their six children to start a bigamous marriage in Canada at the same time as he fathered two more children by a third woman. He adopted the name Livingston after he was indicted for raping a girl in Cayuga in 1849. When he wasn't running away from them or disappearing for years at a time, he would teach his children the tricks of his treacherous trade. He once bragged of his parenting technique, "I cheat my boys every chance I get. I want to make them sharp." A towering man of over 6 feet and with natural good looks that he used to his advantage, he went by Big Bill. Others, less generously, called him Devil Bill. But his real name was William Avery Rockefeller, and it was his son, John D. Rockefeller, who would go on to found the Standard Oil monopoly and become the world's first billionaire. The world we live in today is the world created in Devil Bill's image. It's a world founded on treachery, deceit, and the naivety of a public that has never wised up to the parlor tricks that the Rockefellers and their ilk have been using to shape the world for the past century and a half. This is the story of the oligarchy.
All right. That is the intro there, and we'll clip the end together real quick and... let's see. That should give us just about enough time here. Perfect. All right, so. Yeah. Should be perfect before the break here. Now we'll skip to the end just before the conclusion, so we'll get the conclusion. And again, if you haven't seen this, I think these two things go together well. I've said it many times. I think James did a magnificent job with this. This is history that's been told, but it's never, to my knowledge, been put together like this. And, you know, this should be in every classroom. Well, actually, I don't think there should be classrooms the way that they are, the way that they have been constructed by the Rockefeller contingent. All right, skipping to the end, just before the conclusion and the conclusion. Go ahead, please.
Agribiotech applications. The Rockefeller Ford World Bank created Consultative Group of International Agricultural Research and dozens of other bland, benign-sounding organizations research and promote GM crops in target markets around the globe, with the profits ending up in the oligarchs' coffers. A representative example of this story is the agribusiness neocolonization of Argentina, where Monsanto ran an elaborate bait-and-switch to get the country hooked on its genetically modified Roundup-ready soybeans before demanding royalties on the crops that were by then already growing. DuPont then took over, magnanimously beginning a protein-for-life program to foist their own GM soybeans on the country's poor. The same scene has played itself out in country after country, where cartel-developed GM crops are foisted on emerging economies through food aid, usually during times of famine when those countries are especially vulnerable. Only a handful of countries like Zambia or Angola have outright rejected this GMO takeover of their food supply, generously subsidized by the U.S. government to the benefit of the agribusiness cartel. From cutthroat pioneers of the early oil industry to Machiavellian social engineers and geopolitical schemers, the oligarchs have come a long way since the days of Devil Bill's snake oil cure-alls. But his use of every form of deception and trickery to swindle the public informed how John Dee and the rest of the oligarchs built up their business interests. As the 20th century drew to a close, it was obvious that for the powerful cartel that built the oil industry, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, the British and Dutch royal families, it was no longer about oil, if it ever really was. The takeover of education, of medicine, of the monetary system, of the food supply itself, showed that the aim was much greater than a mere oil monopoly. It was the quest to monopolize all aspects of life, to erect the perfect system of control over every aspect of society, every sector from which any threat of competition to their power could emerge. They had been remarkably, almost unbelievably successful. From oil well to gas pump, farm to fork, hospital to pharmaceutical, drill rig to dollar bill, there was almost no aspect of society that was not under their control. But the oligarchs are not done yet. Their next project, launched in the late 20th century, is almost too ambitious to be comprehended. It is not about oil. It is not about money. It is about the monopolization of life itself. They have spent decades preparing the path for this takeover and marshaled their mind-boggling resources in service of the task. And the vast majority of the world's population, still playing the shell game that the oligarchs perfected and abandoned long ago, are about to fall right into their hands yet again.
Ladies and gentlemen, the battle against climate change is surely the most defining and pivotal challenge of our times. Even in a world full of daunting perils and crises, it is hard to imagine anything that poses a greater challenge and opportunity for humanity.
The negative impact of population growth on all of our planetary ecosystems is becoming appallingly evident.
The science is unequivocally true, and that there is a price to carbon in their future.
What do you see as the biggest challenges in conservation?
The growing human population. Because if where we are, there's nothing else.
We have to start spending money, fast on the solutions that we have in hand to try and help these countries which are already seeing the effects of climate change today and seeing the effects of our consumption, basically.
David Rothschild, thank you so much for joining us here on Bloomberg.
Mm-hmm. Down in Pennsylvania, there is plenty oil, they say, petroleum, we must all have some. The oily fever, don't you see, infects most everyone.
There you go. Good stuff. Great stuff. Be right back. Any clearer
than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back. The interesting thing, you know, you wonder if the antitrust stuff now, like the antitrust litigation that Bill Gates faced, is it like a rite of passage for these guys? Because obviously in the case of John D. Rockefeller, Standard Oil was broken up, but all that really did effectively was well, it obviously enriched John D., but it allowed the Standard Oil Hydra to become more opaque and less visible, less readily apparent. So that's interesting. You know, you get to a point where now, even if you break the pieces apart, you know, the person and the organization has reached such a level that it will be able to persist in its operation, even if it's broken into pieces. So the quest to monopolize all aspects of life, the monopolization of life itself, vast majority of the world's population are about to fall right into their hands yet again. Let's see, from remarkably, almost unbelievably successful, from oil well to gas pump, farm to fork, hospital to pharmaceutical, drill rig to dollar bill, there was almost no aspect of society that was not under their control. So here's a bit of irony. If you go to Odyssey to watch the video today, you will have that little pop-up window, the little message box. Whoops, that's not what I wanted. Come back. I broke my browser. So it's a little message box that says, help library save crypto. What? The U.S. government is attempting to destroy the cryptocurrency industry. Can you help? Learn more and sign petition. And you can go to what's the website? I think this. I'll help librarysavecrypto.com. That is ironic because, no, the government is not attempting to destroy cryptocurrency. In fact, these folks, these very same folks, reaching through the surrogate of government, are trying to engender your support of it. And this is one of those indirect means of doing so, you know, through social engineering. And it's kind of like Morgan's financing of the campaign to break the money trust. If we only had an organization that could regulate the currency, who's going to run it? Never mind that. We need an organization kind of like you'll rent everything. But, you know, you won't own anything, but you've never been happier. Okay, correct me if I'm wrong, but if I'm renting, someone owns. Like, you know, if you rent a car today, no one owns it? And that's a, you know, that's a discussion we could dive into. Deloitte called yesterday from Coeur d'Alene, and so obviously that's a, you know, ownership is a rabbit hole we could dive down, but just, you know, for the sake of pointing out the obvious to keep it simple, if you rent a car, you rent a house, you rent, I don't know, anything, a carpet cleaner, doesn't somebody own it? So you've never, you own nothing by 2030, the World Economic Forum says, but you've never been happier. No one will own anything. Really, then how will anything be rented? That's funny, because logically, there has to be an owner to rent from. It sounds like you guys are doing something dishonest. Maybe I'm just not smart enough to understand it. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Not sure what's going on with the audio now, but it seems to be glitching. We'll see what happens. So, monopolization of life, monopolizing life, is the conclusion of part one of James Corbett's Big Oil series, How Big Oil Conquered the World, part one. Conclusion, monopolizing life. People are unaware, you know, this crypto thing, like I said, it's the same folks, same forces. The one thing I will say, the one, complaint, perhaps. I mean, I hate to even do that because what James did is just magnificent. I think it's a great history lesson. I mean, really, this stuff, you know, he draws a lot from mainstream resources, you know. He says in various parts things like, this story has been told many times. But all of these pieces have not been gathered in one and assembled into one collection. And when you watch these things, I mean, I've said this before, but you watch these things together, it's quite a story. And it's not that long. I think it's just over, what, was it like 3 hours or something together? A little over 3 hours? That's not much. And I would say Aaron and Melissa Dykes, Minds of Men, is a subset of this story. So, you know, in the effort to monopolize life and the social engineering, this other thing was created, and that's, you know, a whole different discussion. But the one, if I was going to make a complaint, the one complaint I might offer is the theosophical bent. It's astonishing how pervasive the theosophical element was at this time in question, in particular, like the turn of the 20th century, and how invisible it remains, how undetected it still remains. That's fascinating to me. What is a good example? You know, the Lucius Trust still receives tremendous support from very well-heeled folks. You have guys like William James. Few people, you know, I always joke, anyone who quotes William James is obviously an old-school bad guy. From the Wikipedia entry on William James, along with Charles Sanders Peirce, James established the philosophical school known as pragmatism and is cited as one of the founders of functional psychology. A review of general psychology analysis published in 2002 ranked James as the 14th most eminent psychologist of the 20th century, a guy that most people have never heard of, though. A survey published in American Psychologist in 1991 ranked James' reputation in second place after Wilhelm Wundt, who is widely regarded as the founder of experimental psychology. Well, what kind of company did he keep? Or what kind of, you know, who is he thought of in company with? James also developed the philosophical perspective known as radical empiricism. That's a fun study if you're not familiar. It's really awful. James' work has influenced philosophers and academics such as Emile Durkheim, W.E.B. Du Bois, Edmund Husserl, Bertrand Russell, Ludwig Wittgenstein, Hilary Putnam, Richard Rorty, and Marilynne Robinson. Anyway, those are a few. But let's see. Skipping down, early life. James finally earned his master's degree in June 1869, but never practiced medicine. What he called his soul sickness would only be resolved in 1872 after an extended period of philosophical searching. He married Alice Gibbons in 1878. In 1882, he joined the Theosophical Society. This is a Wikipedia entry. And there's a reference to Anthony Leese's William James Theosophist, The Quest, Volume 88, Number 6, November-December 2000. And that's all you see about that. James was a guy who, career, skipping down. Among James' students at Harvard University were Boris Sidis, Theodore Roosevelt, George Santayana, W.E.B. Du Bois, G. Stanley Hall, Gertrude Stein, Walter Lippmann, and others. So, and then, you know, skipping down a little bit further, he's one of the strongest proponents of the school of functionalism in psychology and of pragmatism in philosophy. He was a founder of the American Society for Psychical Research, which is essentially an extension of the theosophical bent, and with a sort of specific agenda to study and manipulate mankind, as well as a champion of alternative approaches to healing. In 1884 and 1885, he became president of the British Society for Psychical Research, for which he wrote in Mind and in the Psychological Review. He challenges professional colleagues not to let a narrow mindset prevent an honest appraisal of those beliefs. And so basically, you know, this is sort of the beginnings of what evolved into and became cultural Marxism, where you know, well, backing up career before I even say that, under the section titled Career, James interacted with a wide array of writers and scholars throughout his life, including his godfather, Ralph Waldo Emerson. I don't know what's wrong with me today. Something's going on. William James Sidis, as well as Charles Sanders Peirce, Bertrand Russell, Josiah Royce, Ernst Mach, John Dewey, Walter Lippmann, Mark Twain, Horatio Alger, G. Stanley Hall, Henry Bergson, Carl Jung, Jane Addams, Sigmund Freud. That's quite a list. And James was kind of a bit of the glue. During his Harvard years, James joined in philosophical discussions and debates with Charles Peirce, Oliver Wendell Holmes, Chauncey Wright, that evolved into a lively group informally known as the Metaphysical Club in 1872. Louis Menand, 2001, suggested that this club provided a foundation for American intellectual thought for decades to come. Yeah, and so undergirding all of this was the theosophical bent, and that, you know, basically found its way into everything. That is a you sort of got to read between the lines on the Wikipedia entry, but it's there, and you can find it, and you can search it out. And also, what else was I? No. There was another character from the film industry I was thinking of. I can't readily recall who was that. Anyway, Annie Besant basically sort of brought a concentrated strain, you know, the Blavatsky sort of virulent strain of theosophy to the Fabian contingent, and that found its way into everything. I mean, the more you dig into this subject, the more you find that, you know, the literary figures, the folks in the film industry early on, it was, you know, everybody was a part of this, you know, whether it was the Theosophical Society itself, or the Lucius Trust, or these offshoots like the Metaphysical Club. The who's who was all involved. And some sort of dabbled, and some were more you know, influential guys like William James, for example. But regardless, everyone was influenced. The who's who was influenced. So, you know, this was also a part of the history. This is a big part of the history, and it's a big part of the story of monopolizing life and control, and, you know, definitely the story that James tells in part two, why big oil conquered the world. And now we fast forward, you know, I think it's a short trip from the story that James has told to Geordie Rose saying, you know, something's coming. By 2030, something's going to happen. Be ready. And there are radical changes on the winds. And none of it makes sense. It's change for change's sake. You know, one of the things that James does very well is tell the story of Maurice Strong more completely than you will find it in just about any other place. And again, the irony, you know, of a guy like Maurice Strong, who is a kind of a low-level oil magnate, becoming the environment. If people understood the irony of Maurice Strong, you know, a guy who amassed a fortune through oil, through destroying the earth. You know, I keep thinking of Revelation 11:18, I think it is. Those who destroy the earth, it's these guys. And then they want to say, we all have a responsibility. You know, the general unwashed masses get lumped in. The problem is scapegoated and offloaded onto them, onto the rest of us. You know, there are these mechanisms that are put in place to manipulate people into believing this is, you have to have this thing. And this is just the way life is. You know, we buy these products, we use these things. Planned obsolescence is a thing. You know, we don't need to hang on to anything anymore. We just throw everything away. We just become a WALL-E society, and that's normal. You have to do that because everyone's doing it. Oh, but wait, we're destroying the planet. Well, guess what? We didn't set out to do all these things. We didn't set out to manipulate governments. We didn't set out to start wars and things like that to gobble up all of these resources of the entire world to create products to, you know, like James points out, to create monopolies on resources, to create products to sell to people and, you know, engineer planned obsolescence so that we can keep fake markets going. You and I did not do any of that. Sort of victims of circumstance, but we do have the tools and resources at our disposal to learn about all of this and know better. So you start to figure that out and you realize that there are guys like Maurice Strong who are, you know, the poster child. I mean, he is the quintessential example of these folks who have raped and pillaged to their own obscene fortunes, and at the same time are turning around and telling folks, you know, that we have to save the planet. Well, if it's so important, give your whole fortune away and get out of the business of manipulating folks and monopolizing resources and markets. And then maybe an equilibrium, a natural equilibrium, will be found again. It's, in other words, the manipulation and sophistry is just so fully on display. It's it would be humorous if it were not so obscene and abusive and raping. I don't know. It's pretty obvious, though, when you look at a character like Maurice Strong. Anyway, the theosophical bent, I think, is the one thing that was, I would say, left out. And that is an instrumental piece of history that informs our discretion as to the future that these folks want to create. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Yeah.
These characters, man, government, whatever, you know, you'll find this theosophical. Maybe I'll do a podcast on this sometime. So just to sort of wrap that thought up, here's another example. Thomas Harper Ince, if you're not familiar, Wikipedia. Thomas Harper Ince, Thomas H. Ince, was an American silent film producer, director, screenwriter, and actor. Ince was known as the father of the Western, quote-unquote, and was responsible for making over 800 films. He revolutionized the motion picture industry by creating the first major Hollywood studio facility and invented movie production by introducing the assembly line, quote-unquote, system of filmmaking. The first mogul to build his own film studio, dubbed Inceville in Palisades Highlands. Ince was also instrumental in developing the role of the producer in motion pictures. Two of his films, The Italian, 1915, for which he wrote the screenplay, and Civilization, 1916, which he directed, were selected for preservation by the National Film Registry. He later entered into a partnership with D.W. Griffith. Many people have heard of Griffith. To form Triangle Motion Picture, and Max Sennett to form Triangle Motion Picture Company, whose studios are the present-day site of Sony Pictures. Skipping ahead, Ince's untimely death, which is an interesting, you know, like so many folks in Hollywood, the details of his untimely demise are very curious. Anyway, Ince's untimely death at the height of his career, after he became severely ill aboard the private yacht of media tycoon William Randolph Hearst. Some folks have heard of Hearst. Has caused much speculation, although the official cause of his death was heart failure. Sure. So, skipping down in the Wikipedia entry, both Ince and his wife were practicing theosophists who preferred cremation and had arranged for it long before Ince's death. Anyway, you know, running in these circles, and the more you sort of dive into all of these folks, you know, this person dabbled, this person was practicing, this person was more influential, but it was a very it was a very influential belief system, I guess we'll just call it that. And so, you know, what was that influence doing in the media and movies and politics? Many other folks, you know, maybe I'll mention one more. Henry Wallace is a guy that I could mention. Maybe I'll touch on this one, just one other example when we come back. Second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.